This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. God's word for meditation is from Mark chapter 9. It's also from the other place where Jesus said this. He said this a bunch of times. You know, when I was growing up, if my dad said something, you know, okay, fine, dad, yeah. If he said, like, make sure you pick up your room and go outside and mow the grass. And then if 5 minutes later he says, make sure you pick up your room and go outside and mow the grass. And then if 10 minutes later he says, make sure that you pick up your room and go outside and mow the grass. It's the same command. But suddenly I'm really paying attention. And that's what kind of goes on here. They left that place, passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him. After 3 days, he will rise. But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, what were you arguing about on the road? But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. And sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last, the servant of all. He took a little child, had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, Lord, our rock and our defender. Amen. I'm going to teach you two words today. Sometimes you have a great benefit coming on Sundays as opposed to coming on Thursdays. I thought after Thursday, I thought, you know, I kind of cheated them a little bit. I only taught them one of these words, so I'm going to teach you two words. One of them sounds like this, doulos. Another one sounds like this, diakonos. We'll get to that later so you can understand that, but it has to deal with what is going on here. Where is Jesus? He is going from point A to point B. As he's going from point A to point B, point A is where he grew up in Bethlehem, and then he lived in Capernaum. He's going to go to Jerusalem. Why? Outside of Jerusalem is a cross with his name on it. He is going specifically to offer up his life as a sacrifice for all people. Along this little journey of 33 years of life, particularly the last 3 years, he picks up a bunch of men that we call the apostles or the disciples. We really identify with them because the Lord lays out exactly how they are, and amazingly, they're just like us. They're sinners through and through. Sometimes we think that they're completely daft. Other times they're incredibly bold in the Lord. And we've fit ourselves into their sandals so well. This is one of those times. They left that place. Jesus is making sure that nobody knows where they're going. He needs some private time, some quiet instruction time. It's kind of like what happens with me and the confirmation classes every year. You know, we could just have confirmation class here, all you people watching what's going on, but you know, we don't. I take the confirmants aside. And that way, if they have a question, they can just ask me what the question is. They don't have to worry about putting in the right form or making sure it sounds right, because they know as a pastor, I'll take it in the right way and I'll help them get into God's word to find their answer. So sometimes it's nice to have a nice little quiet group. Jesus knew that. So he took him aside. And as he's walking along, he's telling them exactly what's going to happen. We just heard this, right? Yeah. I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. They're going to kill him. And then on the third day, he's going to rise again. Right there. And what happens? They don't know what's going on. What's he talking about? They have no clue. The sinful nature is so strong. You and I need to constantly remind ourselves that we have a nature that is outright rebelling against everything that God wants us to know. Even as I am preaching sermon after sermon, I know that some of you are going to say, oh, what was on that truck that went by? It just happens. And we show such callousness towards God's precious words. And they didn't get it, and then they were afraid because they know they should have got it, they should have been paying attention. It's kind of like what happens again in confirmation class when you give an assignment and everyone says, okay, and then that one student looks up and say, what was that again? Oh, man. They knew they should have been paying attention. Oh, okay. They get to Capernaum, Jesus' hometown where he was growing up. And you're going to see our God of grace in action. Already the disciples have blown it. They've shown that they're sinners. They've shown that they really don't care about Jesus. And now Jesus lets them know that he knows the full story. He says, what were you guys talking about while you were on the road? Whoa. They knew they had done something wrong. And they remained quiet. It's kind of like if a child of yours comes into the house and their normal pattern is they come in and they say, hi, how are you doing, Dad? How are you doing, Papa? How are you doing, Mom? How are you doing, Mama? And they come in and they say, and they chit-chat, and then they go off to the room or whatever. And then that one day when you know that the day before they were out really late, and they come in and they go, hi. They know. And they don't really want to talk about whatever it is that was going on. And so the parent goes after him. I want you to see what this God of grace does. Jesus that we serve, what does he do? He takes them into the house. This is going to be a private thing. He needs to have them understand something. He's not out to embarrass them. He's not out to make their life miserable. He's out to have them understand what he is all about. And they don't get it yet. And he needs to teach them. So he brings them in quietly and says, what were you talking about on the road? And they were ashamed because they had been talking about who's going to be the greatest. You know, after Jesus dies and he comes back to life again, who's going to be the greatest, you know? How callous they were. If I, in God's plan of things, if I am discovered to have cancer, and my doctor looks at my body and he says, you know, according to everything that we know, you got maybe 6 months to live, and I share that with you, the normal reaction of people who care about one another is what? Well, how are you doing, Pastor? And they talk about a little sympathy, a little empathy. Even your worst enemies will pause for a little bit to say, oh, my goodness, that's a hard thing to hear. But Jesus' disciples are saying, you know, after he kicks the bucket and comes back again, who's going to sit where? Such callous disregard for what was going to be happening on their behalf by their teacher and their Savior, their living God. And he very quietly says, you know, what were you talking about? Then he says the words that I want you to learn. One of them is doulos. Say that word, please. Doulos. Doulos. That means slave. Servant who is a slave. A doulos is someone who has no will of his own. He is property. He is purchased by somebody, and he does that other person's will without thinking, because he is a doulos. There's another word that Jesus uses when he talks to his disciples. It's called diakonos. Say, please, diakonos. Diakonos is kind of cool. A slave, a doulos, has no will of his own. A diakonos is more like what you and I would call a waiter. or a butler, something like that. But not quite like that either. It's a little bit different. The word comes from, get a picture in your mind of sandals. And as your sandals and you're going on a dusty road and a little pile of dust around there and your feet are going through, that's the word that's used. So a diaconess is someone who goes to the house scurrying up and all the dust starts to gup around their feet because they're in such a busy hurry to carry out somebody else's will. Both of the words are used, both diaconess and doulos. Yes, I'm an ongoing program to teach you Greek. There is so much there. He says, you know, guys, you're not getting it. It's not about being the greatest. It's about being the lowest. You know, a while back there was a thing that went, talked about leader servants or servant leaders, you know. And Jesus says you should be a servant leader. He does not say to be a servant leader. Jesus says, be a servant. And he uses one of these two words. And he says, in case you want to know what I am, the Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve. And he uses the word doulos, which means slave. So God, the Creator, the Almighty, the Omnipotent, this man, this God in the flesh, he came to serve us, to give up his life in my place, in your place, so we will live forever. It's not about being the greatest. It's not about calling the shots. It's about finding the best way to serve another person. Did they get this? When he said it, Jesus knew that his disciples were like us. We just don't get some things unless we see something visual. So then he goes and he takes a child and he says, you got to be like a child. Whoever welcomes a child welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me doesn't welcome me, welcomes the one who sent me. And while they're pondering that and pondering that, you and I need to ponder this. Children in Jesus' day were looked at just one step up above dogs. Jesus says, whoever welcomes one of these in my name welcomes me. That's how come when we gather together in church, why it's such a neat thing if you just pause for just a second and look around. Right now, go ahead, just look around as far as you can see. Over, back. All these different people. We all come from different variety of background. We all come from different social strata. Some of us have more cash. Some of us have less cash. Some of us have more honor. Some have less honor. Some have more health. Some have less health. Jesus says, you know, my people, when they gather together, they put all that aside because they are all about serving one another. Being a doulos, being a diaconess, serving one another, honoring one another, seeing how I can best help another person get closer and closer to Jesus. My dear friends, this week, do that. Remember that Jesus' standard is not who can control the most people and make the most people go through the most hoops. Jesus' standard is, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus' standard is, God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus' standard is that he came to serve us and give us everlasting life. And that's exactly what he did. So be a diaconess. Get that dust stirring up around your feet. Be a doulos. Find out what someone else can do and do it for that person. Not to make that person like you, but because this is how God wants us to be. He wants us to be itty-bitty little Jesus is walking around, showing God's love and his mercy towards all people. In his name, so let us live this week. Amen.